This is Amherst Eclectic, and today I wanted to discuss the court trials that are going on between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And there's a reason I want to discuss this, because I have somewhat of an in-depth experience, which I shared in the past, of living with someone, being married to someone who was deeply into addictions, not even knowing the extent of the addictions he was into. And the public persona that he put out versus the private, behind closed doors persona that I saw, that I see in direct correlation with Johnny Depp. And let me precede all of this by saying, I think that Johnny Depp is an amazing actor. I've always followed his career. There's not a movie that he's made that I haven't seen that he hasn't been brilliant in. But I think it has to do a lot with, and I think this is true about many actors, many musicians. I think that acting, art, music is an outlet for people who have, you know, very tough backgrounds, maybe even because of those tough backgrounds have mental health issues like bipolar and personality disorders, you know, things like that, because of the toughness that they've grown up in, sometimes the trauma that is the result of that. But a lot of them, and I've done research about this in past podcasts when we were talking about why people, you know, gain so much weight, it's because of past sexual trauma and trying to be unattractive. And also all the other podcasts that I've done that talked about addictions and why people get into them. And it's just sort of a protective thing. There are some people who gain weight. There are some people who are bulimic. There are some people who are anorexic. And then there are people who do drugs because they're trying to numb, forget, put behind them the trauma that they've dealt with. And with sexual abuse, you know, that's God. And physical abuse, I've talked about how, you know, I have a friend that wakes up in the middle of the night and he's a 6'4" big guy that used to be on a football team, but his father abused him so badly, and his brothers, I'm not sure about his sister, but when they were younger, we're talking burning cigarettes, tying them to chairs, while punching them continuously in the face, that kind of stuff. And he'll wake up in the middle of the night still years later, and his father's gone, with nightmares of those things that his father did to him, you know, before he left home. And yet, you know, this is a guy I told you that kept trying to continually have a relationship with his abusive, screwed up father, who, by the way, is probably the way he was because of his past trauma. I'm sure worse things happened to his father. So, you know, we look back at Johnny Depp's life, and he has had, you know, a struggle in his past and his youth. And he's also, over the years, it's well been documented, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. And I think a lot of stories have been covered up about Johnny Depp because of the bank that his, you know, he's a product. Every actor, actress, musician, artist, they are a product. And when they become popular and we all buy in to their persona, they have to protect that persona. I mean, here's an example. Clark Gable, I think back in the day, while he was becoming big and was a pretty good product, I guess went out one night and got drunk. This is a story that has been out there. And he hit somebody with a car and killed them. And it was covered up. So this story has come out many, many times. So Clark Gable basically was a drunk driver who killed somebody, and they covered it up. And it would explain, and there's a couple other incidents in his life as well that were covered up by the studio, because he's a product who makes money, and they don't want to sully that image that they've created for this person. Because think about it, you know, Clark Gable wasn't really what the image was. When he went home at night, he was a totally different person than the image that everybody saw. But they had, the studios had paid a lot of money, a lot of advertising, paid a lot to create who he was to get people to come to these movies. So that's the one thing that a lot of people talk about when they get into Hollywood, is how they went from being this artist that just wanted to act, just wanted to do music, and they became a product. You know, they were no longer a human being. They were something that people could make money off of. And then they get on that treadmill of that product. Well, I think that the reason a lot of damaged people, like Johnny Depp, like Clark Gable, you know, if you really delve into Marilyn Monroe, Vivian Leigh, you know, all of these actresses and actors, if you really go into their backgrounds and find out about who they are, they're very damaged in different ways, in different areas. So I know from dealing with and being married to someone who is very damaged, and, you know, I have my own background and my own emotional things from my past as well. Struggling and dealing with that. So I understand it from that level as well. I never went the drug route. I never went the alcohol route, because it was all around me. And I saw how damaging, that was really what was damaging my background, you know? So I didn't want to do that to anybody else. But with Johnny Depp, I'm pretty sure he grew up with a single mom. They were moving all the time. I mean, I think he even talks about that. And there's a few actors, actresses that talk about how they moved around, that nomadic lifestyle. And, you know, it's documented, and he's talked about it himself in interviews, you know, becoming involved in drugs, alcohol, the outskirts of, you know, society. And we also have to remember that, Johnny Depp had the Viper Room. He had that bar in L.A. A lot of drugs filled. We're talking cocaine, crack, you know, heroin. All kinds of things were going on in that bar. And the authorities were trying to shut it down all the time. But because it was all these stars that were going there, we're talking big stars like Keanu Reeves and Leonardo DiCaprio and River Phoenix. And that brings me to, Winona Ryder was dating Johnny Depp at the time, I think. That brings me to the story of, you know, I can remember being very young and hearing this story about how River Phoenix and Keanu Reeves and Johnny Depp were all partying together that night. And they were actually there when River Phoenix passed out and died. And stories are told about that night. People, you know, delete those names out. But in the news at the time, it came out that Keanu Reeves and Johnny Depp were there, right? And they were with River Phoenix. And, like, Keanu Reeves was really, really close to River Phoenix. So it doesn't surprise anybody that he would be with them. Also, there's a movie that came out. I think it was called This Thing Called Love, that River Phoenix was in with Dermot Mulroney, Sandra Bullock, Mathis which was a female actress that River Phoenix ended up dating after they did that movie together. She was the main female role in that movie, although they all had pretty equal parts. But watch that movie. River Phoenix looks awful. He looks awful. He is so obviously strung out on drugs in that movie. He's so skinny and he's like almost lethargic through the whole thing, which is probably why it didn't do very well, because it's hard to watch. And basically in the end, I think in the story, I can't remember, I've watched it so long ago, but I think that's basically what happens is he dies from drugs in the story. But he definitely was doing them. It was obvious. Now, and maybe it's obvious to me because in dealing with the alcoholics and the drug addicts in my life, I have gone through counseling. I have gone through, you know, the Al-Anon meetings. I have gone through, suggestions that I go to NA and AA meetings to understand the addicts and alcoholics in my life. And because I took the time to do all that, I've met many people who are in recovery, but I've also had many people in my life that were on drugs. And then you see people who relapse that are coming to AA and NA and Al-Anon, sometimes there's addicts in Al-Anon as well because they're codependent. I mean, we're all codependent to some level. We have to admit to that. But I have seen how it goes. I've watched people get on drugs, get back on drugs, and I consider alcohol drugs. So when I say drugs, I'm talking about it all. So I know what it looks like. So when I see somebody getting high, I only have to look at somebody to know that they're on drugs or they're drinking because it's so familiar to me. It's been around me my whole life, unfortunately. Unfortunately, the alcohol industry has made that an easy thing to happen. When they made alcohol legal, now they're making marijuana legal. It's just going to get worse, people. And I'm not saying that marijuana is a bad thing or alcohol is a bad thing. But the problem is for a majority of the population, I don't think many people can handle alcohol. And people say there's more people who can handle it than cannot handle alcohol. I think that's wrong. I think most people cannot handle alcohol. And I think that that's why there's such an obsession with alcohol and bars and, you know, because most people are obsessed with it and use it as a way to kill the pain of their lives. I don't know. But anyway, I just think that I don't think it's just America. There's so many cultures that are built around alcohol and drugs. And that's why that they've gotten out of hand. And that's why, you know, when people can't get the illegal stuff, they go for the legal stuff. So now we've got prescription drug addiction is the big thing now, and people hurting themselves just so they can go in the emergency room and get another prescription. I mean, it's crazy because of our lives being so tough. But my point with this, with the Johnny Depp part of the story, is when Johnny Depp started going downhill, it was obvious. In interviews, even in the movies that he was in, that he was heading down the wrong path. It's obvious when he's high on interviews. It's obvious when he's drunk on interviews. And he's been known to do it all. And so I think that what people are missing in this story is what I can see. Having lived with an alcoholic addict, they are abusive when they're high. They are abusive when they're drunk. It's like living with a Jekyll and a Hyde. You know, when they're not drinking, when they're not high, you know, there's a different person than when they are. And they go back and forth between being really like this, you know, presenting this this image to the world, this public persona, because they have to have a public persona in order to make the money to bring in the cash that supports their habit, right? And as time goes on, they get worse and worse and worse in their addiction, and they don't realize that their public persona is kind of eroding, and people are starting to see what they're really doing. But they've just been so used to doing the same thing every day, presenting that public persona, that they don't even see when it's being eroded, right? Because their drugs and alcohol addictions are taking over. I watched that happen, and I watched the abuse set in as the addiction got worse. And what I mean by abuse of me. And I was out pretty fast. I didn't wait around very long. You know, I didn't put up with much. I probably put up with more than I should have because of my background and the abuse that I've dealt with in my past. But, you know, we were together for so long, and then all of a sudden, boom, he starts, you know, the verbal, physical, financial abuse starts. And it's right around the time that now I know that he was getting back into cocaine. But I had no idea that he was doing that. Well, because most addicts do that stuff behind your back. So here's Amber Heard, 25 years younger than Johnny Depp. She has her own issues, and from what I understand, has her own, you know, mental health, her own childhood issues, and her own drug addictions, right? So here are these two volatile people. She's 25 years younger than Johnny Depp. He obviously has the upper hand because he's very, very wealthy, and he has a cocoon around him of people that he's paid. And you'll see what I mean. Like, I read a couple articles that mentioned that he literally rented out rooms where they lived, and six or seven rooms around the room that they had in this old building when he had a mansion somewhere in LA that he could live in. But he rented out these rooms, and then he gave the rooms freely to his friends, quote unquote, to live in around him. So he basically pays for people to be his friend. I mean, if you're getting a free apartment in LA, these are probably people who couldn't afford to live in a very nice area or a very nice building. So he's giving them maybe, you know, a free room. And maybe it is people who can afford it. But basically, they're getting something for free. So if something's happening in the apartment between him and Amber Heard, do you think they're going to go out and tell everybody? Because they get a free apartment. They get a free place to live. That's like someone giving you a house. Are you going to say anything about what's going on between them next door if you're getting the free house? He basically paid for people to be mum, right? And again, I will listen here. I will say, I have the utmost respect for his acting career. I have the utmost respect for his abilities. I will go see anything that Johnny Depp is in. Play, band, you know, movie. It's going to be a good product, right? But that's also a part of I think a lot of these people who are alcoholics and drug addicts are very great actors because they've learned how to put on that mask, to put on that face to the public so that everybody thinks that they are a certain type of person, but really behind that mask, they're somebody else. They're totally somebody else. I can remember saying to my ex, you should get an Oscar for the acting that you put on to everyone else, but, you know, not showing them what I see. You should freaking get an Oscar. And I've had another person that I was involved with that was the same way. You know, put on this public persona, but then behind closed doors, totally someone else. Kicked him out a lot faster than I kicked my ex-husband. Kicked him out of my life a lot faster than I did my ex-husband. because, you know, you start learning. When you start seeing the red flags, it's like, nah, you're out of here. I've seen this and it's happened before and I'm out. I was married to the other one. I'm not married to you. So I've seen it and I know what's going on. So I have watched Johnny Depp in interviews and things, and I can remember before all this stuff with Amber Heard came down, I can remember saying to people, there's something going on. He is on something. He is, you know, if he was drinking and doing drugs before, he is way into it now because he's acting weird. His physical health is going downhill. He's not, you know, you'll see that he goes from being out in public and actually, you know, dressing pretty decently and looking, you know, pretty good to not really caring what he wears. And he's got all these different, I mean, he looks like a bum. He started looking like a bum. And really, that's not his style. Maybe it is. I don't know. But he knew well enough not to do that. But when you get deeper and deeper into your alcohol and your drugs, you're just throwing on stuff every day. You're just trying to get through the day. And I think a lot of people are giving Amber Heard a really hard time and saying that she's lying. Now, I don't know if she's totally telling the truth or not, but I can tell you from my experience with a severe addict, which Johnny Depp is, and if she's also an addict with mental health issues, etc., man, that was a recipe for disaster from the very beginning. Plus, she's 25 years younger, and I don't know that she's naive, but she's not as experienced in that world as he is. And again, like I said, he had the upper hand with being very, very wealthy and having this protective cocoon around him all these years. But then you also started seeing him. He started getting into the band with, I can't remember. It was Alice Cooper. Who all was in that band? But yeah, he went off in this band that started performing. And then he really went downhill when that started. Which, you know, I've been told that Alice Cooper is, you know, reborn, not doing drugs. But the other members of that band, maybe not so much. You know, you can exist in a world like the rock, you know, music world, and you can be clean and you can be sober, but everybody around you is doing it. I can't remember the female artist that was talking about how she'd never gotten into drugs, but everyone around her was doing it. I can't remember. It was just an article that I read recently about how they never got into it, but everybody around them was doing it. So, you know, I think that's kind of maybe the Alice Cooper thing is he's kind of gotten out of it. He's reborn Christian, but you can't, you know, you learn when you go to Al-Anon, you learn in counseling, you learn when you're involved with an addict that you can't control other people. You can't, you can love them. You can't love them into being clean and sober. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And you have to accept that they're making those decisions and move on. So, you know, Alice Cooper is probably, that's how he is. You know, I can't control them, but I can control me. So, same with family members and things like that in your life. You learn that you can't make them change. And you either have to just leave them alone to what they're doing, or if it's starting to affect you negatively, you have to set a boundary and say, you can't be in my life anymore until you get clean and sober because you have a negative effect on me. So I think that, you know, I saw him going downhill. I could see the signs. I could see those red flags coming up left and right. And it's not just him. There's other actors, other band members, other rock and roll people. I mean, I see interviews all the time where I'm like, whoa, this person is deep into some addiction. And it's obvious. Sometimes you can tell what they're doing. Sometimes you can't. And having been in NA and AA, you know, I saw that a lot. So I think a lot of people are just not realizing what went on in this relationship. And I don't think it's one or the other's fault, really. I think they both had something to do with the breakdown of this marriage, with the breakdown of their relationship, and with the abuse. So do I believe Amber Heard? Yeah, I do. Do I believe Johnny Depp? Yeah, I do. I think they were abusing each other. I think they were both drinking and drugging. I think that, you know, they're attacking each other now, you know, to preserve their public personas from the drug, alcohol addicts that they are, mental health issues that they have, that they don't want getting out into the public. And they don't want people to know about, because it will erode their careers, which we're seeing that happen. You know, Johnny Depp's lost roles. Amber Heard hasn't lost a role yet, but they're saying if the Aquaman movie does not do well, because people are now saying, well, Johnny's innocent, he hasn't done anything, now they're going to boycott Aquaman. Well, I'm telling you right now, people, don't boycott Aquaman, because they were both complicit in this. You know, Amber had her side to it. Johnny had his side to it. He was drinking and doing drugs. I'm going to go into this a little more in a second half of this podcast. But he basically had huge wine bills every month. And he smoked pot constantly, which everybody's going to say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, he was high. Pot's a drug, people, you know, and he's drinking. So alcohol, pot, and apparently cocaine and cocaine binges, and he had to go into drug rehab. You know, this isn't all come out. This was recent. He had to go into drug rehab during this whole thing. And people are forgetting that. You know, I think Amber went into rehab as well after their divorce. So yeah, courts found that they both needed to go into rehab, and they were told to go. So they both have issues, and they both are complicit in everything that happened in this relationship. And I'm going to delve in, you know, this isn't just going to be my word and what I'm saying, but I'm just trying to explain right now that I have experience in this. I know what I saw. And when everybody else was going nuts saying, oh, it's, you know, Amber Heard, she was abused, Johnny's an asshole. Amber Heard's lying, the other camp, and Johnny is, she's just trying to ruin his career. But no. These are two drug addicts, people. These are two drug addicts who, when they got to a certain point in their addiction, when it was going overboard, because they had tons of money and they're both addictive personalities and they're both doing it, they started abusing each other. Now, in my case, in my relationship, my addict was just abusing me, and I was just like, what is going on? Where, what happened to the boy that I fell in love with? What is going on? What's happening? Well, see, I didn't know he was doing cocaine, that he had gotten back into that. I didn't know that he had ever been into cocaine, because all the people around him never told me. Because all they could see was that he was heading down a road where he was going to die. And when he met me, he flipped that switch. And he even told me that he was afraid for me to find out that he and his friends did drugs. And then I ended up finding out that he did it when he was in motocross, and, you know. So my point here is that they're both complicit. And in the next half of this podcast, I'm going to go into some articles that came out at the time that people are ignoring now that say what happened, how they both went into rehab, how they both had issues in addiction and mental health issues. So we'll go to get that on the other side here. Amherst Eclectic. We'll go to the second podcast, which will be right behind this.